Hallelujah. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son, who yielded His life in atonement for sin and opened the life gate that all may go in. We give You thanks, Father. We give You glory today, Lord. Great is Your mercy. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. Forget about yesterday. Forget about the past. Turn your eyes upon Jesus today. In this new day, this new beginning. Every day is a new beginning. Hallelujah. We rejoice in Your great love and mercy, Father, today. For the forgiveness of our sins. And for eternal life. Hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Just open the gates. And He says, open the gate of your heart. Open the door. Open wide. Hallelujah, that the King of glory may come in. He will show up where He's wanted. I not only need the Lord, but I want the Lord. I delight in the Lord. He is my delight. He is my joy. He is my strength. He is my hope and my salvation. Hallelujah. The Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Doesn't that feel good to say? Of whom shall I be afraid? Because the Lord is my light and salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. He gives me the ability, amen, to say, Abba, Father, as a son in the new covenant. Aren't you glad that we have access to this strength, this faith, this hope that we have in Him? He is our hope. He is our strength. He's the one we seek. Many times we seek the hand of the Lord. We ask the Lord for His help. Yes, and He wants to help. He knows what we have need of before we ask. Amen. But the Lord really delights in that we would seek His face. That we want to draw near to Him and that we would want to know Him. We would not want to know the one, the heart that has given so much for us, that has loved us so much, that we would not just delight in the gifts of Him, but who He is, our Father, the Father of our spirit. If you need a touch from the Lord in your body, maybe you've already received it. I know many times God just sovereignly touches people, doesn't He? As we worship Him, hallelujah, all of a sudden you realize, hey, I'm healed. In His presence, you see, there's healing. It's Him. He is the healer. If you need a touch from the Lord, would you stand up right now? Whatever it is, in you need a touch from the Lord right now. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Now, and I ask everyone that's around them, you don't need to stand, but if you just stretch out your hands towards them right now. And I want you to speak to whatever it is. God knows. Amen. God knows, speak to whatever it is that the need is today, whether it's physical, healing, emotional, financial, whatever. God, we thank You today that You are our provider. Hallelujah. And my God shall supply all, not some, all of my need. That means physical, financial, spiritual, otherwise, maybe emotional today. In Jesus' name, we thank You, Father, for Your healing. For Your blood avails for us. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ over every heart and every mind and every body here today. And Lord, I ask You to release right now Your healing virtue. And we command sickness and disease and infirmity to go in the name of Jesus. And every spirit that would cause sickness or disease or infirmity, we command you in the authority of Jesus Christ, go right now. Amen. And be free and be healed and be set free in your mind. Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be the Lord. Hallelujah. We declare this place an anxiety-free zone. and come up and say, my anxiety, why are you claiming it as your own? Amen. I'm claiming peace, the peace of the Lord. Amen. That passes all understanding. Thank you, Lord. The Lord wants every one of His people to walk in His peace. Amen. And you know, stress and worry often leads to anxiety, doesn't it? And we start to worry about all the things and all the reports and all the stuff that, you know, the media is vomiting out right now. If you want to spend too much time in that, before you know it, you're going to be thinking like that, you know, and believing what they're saying may be true, you know. How many know sometimes they speak the truth, but most of the time not? Amen. How many? I'm going to stick to the word of God, right? How many? We have a true word, a sure word of prophecy here. Amen. So God gave us His word. He gave us His promises. He's given us His spirit. And He doesn't want our hearts to be troubled over anything. Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Amen. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. All right. Know that He's got His eye on you. He's waiting for us. We're in preparation for the coming of the bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Amen. We're in the dressing room of eternity right now. We're being prepared for eternity. Hallelujah. And the Lord is going to come at the appointed time of the Father. When the Father says, son, go get your children. He's coming. Amen. And we are in a time of preparation for the coming of the Lord. And we're calling out and say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Come and establish your rule. Hallelujah. From the city of Jerusalem, He shall reign over all the earth. He is coming to rule. He is coming to reign. Get ready. Amen. Be prepared, because He says He's coming in an hour when you think not. That means we need to be ready. Amen. Living in a state of readiness. And if you draw near to God and you walk closely with the Lord, then you're not concerned about these things, because you know God's got it. He's got you. Amen. Sometimes we're going to have to walk through the waters, but He says, I will be with you. Amen. And through the fire. But He's the one in the fire with us. Amen. So God is faithful to take care of us. We have a faithful Father. A Father that takes care of His children, that provides for His children, that protects His children, that comforts His children. Amen. There's no love like the love of our Father. Lord, I just commit my way to You. I pray that You guide me by Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, Lord. We've prayed, we believe, and we thank You that You hear us. I have my alarm clock set on. I don't even know what the dial is on. It's a Christian dial. Maybe 770 or something. No, 70, 820 maybe. Anyways, or 6:30 a.m. But it's my alarm clock. Okay, so I have it set so I can hit the snooze, you know, about 20 times usually. But sometimes when that radio comes on, you know, there's different speakers that come on that. Sometimes it's just like the Lord really wires me into something. And I was listening to, James Dobson's Family Talk, it's now called. It used to be Focus on the Family, but it's now called Family Talk. And there was a pastor, Brennan Beeler. He's a senior pastor of a non-denominational church in Treasure Valley, Idaho. And he did some research and he put some statistics together. And we was talking about the importance of fathers. And I'd sent Trevin out a copy of that as well. He's a new father, and now he's got three. Amen. And a little baby. They just had a new baby girl, Lux. And which means what? Is it joy? Light. Light in Latin? Light. It's light, Latin and for light. Okay. All right. So anyways, this is what he was saying. I got this transcript of this. Recent secular research has found that the missing component in society today and the reason for many of the social ills in society today have a direct connection to the absence of a true father in the home. Most of us are aware of this. In the past 30 years, there has been a 550% increase in violent crime. We can see that in the day in which we live, a 400% increase in illegitimate births, a 200% increase in teenage pregnancy, and a 300% increase in teenage suicide. And secular experts have traced all of these things back to one singular thing: the breakdown of the family and specifically the absence of a father in the home. Now, there is a father absent crisis in America, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. 19.7 million children nationwide live without a father in the home. Excuse me. That's one in every four kids in the United States that don't have a dad in the home. One out of four. One expert says that we are in danger of becoming a fatherless society. According to the U.S. Department of Justice, statistics show that when a child is raised in the father-absent home, the kids are affected in these following ways. They are two times more likely to drop out of high school. Girls are seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teen. There is a four times greater risk of poverty in the family. And these kids are 279% more likely to carry guns and deal drugs. They are more likely to commit crimes, more likely to go to prison, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, and two times more likely to suffer obesity. Also, 63% of all youth suicides are from a fatherless home. 90% of all homeless and runaway youth are from a father-absent home. 90%. 85% of all children that exhibit major behavioral disorders are from father-absent homes. 71% of all high school dropouts are from father-absent homes. 70% of juveniles in state-operated, it's supposed to be, institutions are from father-absent homes. 70%. 75% of adolescent patients in substance abuse centers are from father-absent homes. 75% of rapists motivated by displaced anger are also from father-absent homes. And the list goes on and on about the statistics of what happens in our culture and society when fathers aren't present, or when fathers aren't being the fathers that God has called them to be. The title of the message today is The Vital Role of a Dad. We know there is no such thing as a perfect father, earthly father. You're not going to find it on earth. However, those who walk in the ways of the Lord make the best fathers. Why? Because they endeavor to walk in the example of the perfect Father, the Father of spirits, our Heavenly Father. So God has revealed Himself to us as a Father, the Father of spirits. Jesus came to this earth to reveal the heart of the Father to us. And so He is a perfect Father, and He's the one that we should be patterning our lives after. If you want an example of perfection, look at the Lord. Amen. We want to be like Jesus. Amen. We're growing into His likeness, becoming like Him. We want to be like Him when we grow up. Amen. So Hebrews 12:9. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? The word corrected means disciplined and trained. So it's not just about being a disciplinarian. Amen. It's also instructing our children in the way they should go. Now, we know God the Father is the source of every being that has been created. Amen. That have a spirit in them. Amen. And man is a spirit, of course, dwelling in a human body. And we were made, unlike everything else in creation, in the likeness, right? In the image of God. In Genesis 1:27, so God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, what? Male and female, He created them. And remember, woman came out from man, so she's a part of man. Amen? So she's not to be disrespected, right? Because we are of the same substance. And before the Lord, we are equal in value, but different in responsibilities and roles. Equal in value, but different in our responsibilities and roles. Amen? And I remember as a young man growing up, wanting to please my dad. And my dad wasn't a perfect man, but he taught me the value of hard work, personal responsibility, and self-discipline. Because my dad had disciplined me when I was young, it helped me to develop self-discipline. It's very important that parents train and discipline their own children and don't leave that responsibility up to society or to the schools. You see, if a child is not disciplined when they're young, they don't learn self-discipline. Discipline is important. Amen. It's not that we're hating on them. We're actually loving on them by ensuring that they understand that there are consequences for bad actions. Amen. For doing the wrong things. And because we care enough, we love them enough, we don't want to see them destroyed. Amen. We do what's necessary to get their attention. Amen. Within reason. Amen. I believe that the punishment should equal, amen, the crime. All right? And I don't believe in abusing children. Of course not. Amen? But we're abusing children if we don't ever discipline them. Can you say amen? That's the worst form of abuse, to allow a child just to do whatever they want, whenever, however they want, and never have any self-responsibility and any self-discipline because they've never been disciplined. They've never been told no. Everybody gets a trophy, right? And that's what society's trying to push right now, that you don't tell people what to do. They do whatever they want to do and leave them alone, or you're wounding their fragile egos. And this is the wisdom of the world, which is foolishness. God has given us true wisdom, amen? And He reveals that through His Word, by His Spirit, so we can know how to raise a family, amen? And how to live within, amen, the structure of a marriage between a man and a woman. That is God's pattern for procreation. Come on, somebody, amen? All right? Because God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Amen? So it takes a man and a woman to do that. That's God's order. That's God's plan. Satan hates that, and therefore he's trying to disrupt, amen, the natural order of things, because he knows that he cannot touch God directly. But if he can get his creation to obey him, it hurts the heart of God. That's why we don't yield to temptation. That's why we don't listen to His voice. We listen to the voice of truth. We listen to the word of the Lord. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. They may take a detour, amen, but if you've done the right thing and you've instilled in them the values, the right values, amen, there's a promise in that. Don't ever give up on your kids, right? Keep praying for your kids. God is able to make all grace abound. And we have seen many, even many, after many years. Some are white-haired here that have prayed many years for your children. And now, even now, you're seeing them come to the Lord. So don't give up, amen? Every time you're praying, the Holy Spirit is at work, amen? And I know there was somebody after me, amen. Somebody was praying for me, and the Lord kept bugging me, you know, and convicting me, and even there was times when I wanted to do something and I couldn't. I know somebody had to be praying, amen. And I thank God that I did have some parents that prayed for me when I was a kid, amen. And there was times, of course, when I refused the advice of my dad, but as I grew older, I realized my dad was wiser than I thought. Have you heard it said, right? The older I get, the more I realize my parents are smarter than I thought. Yeah. Sometimes we're that way with our relationship with our Heavenly Father, you know. Sometimes we can be like a stubborn, rebellious teenager, you know. And how many would agree with me? It's always easier just to say yes. Yes, Lord. How many know he knows what's best? He's always right. He's never wrong. Amen. Even though when we grew up, we didn't think our parents had a clue until, again, we got older. Especially when you start having your own kids. And that's when you really start to realize, yeah, okay, now I know what they were going through. But thank God for His mercy. You know, Psalms 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so according to the Bible, people who refuse to believe in and submit to God are foolish. And again, can I suggest to you that many of today's ills we see in our society can be linked to man's refusal to accept God's counsel. We've got a better idea. Oh no, you don't need to discipline your children, they say. You know. There's many today that don't seem to believe that a dad is important. That we can do just fine without dad being in the home and being in his place. Sometimes dad's in the home, but he's not in the home. Amen. He's there, but he's not present. And I believe those statistics that I shared with you clearly prove God's word is true. You know, we see the fruit of disobedience, you know, of rebelling against God's counsel. You know, God will give grace, and he'll give knowledge, he'll give wisdom to those who are receptive of him and of his ways, that are wanting to know the truth. But if you hear the word of the Lord and in your heart you disagree with it, you disregard it, what happens is you end up creating a callous in it over your heart, if you will. To the place where sometimes people get into a place where they no longer fear the Lord, they no longer tremble at his word, they no longer are sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord because they have continued to resist in their heart the counsel of God when they had received it, when God was speaking to them by his Spirit. The Bible says, be careful that you don't harden your hearts as they did in the days of rebellion during Moses' time, remember, in the wilderness. And he's speaking to the New Testament church that it's possible for us to become calloused, insensitive, by resisting or rejecting even the truth that God tries to bring to us by his Spirit. The devil knows that a dad is important. He knows. He knows the Bible better than we do. Amen? And so he looks for ways to cause division and destroy the traditional family. And one way that he's doing it today is, of course, by undermining parental authority in the education system. Do we not see that? I don't need anybody to co-raise my child. Amen? God gave me that responsibility. It's our responsibility to raise our children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. Amen? To raise them up in the way they should go. So they attempt to strip parents of their right to know what is happening with their children in school. And even to have a say in what they're being taught. And I would say in some cases, you know, you may not have much you can do about it, especially if you're in a split-up situation and your children are going between two parents, amen, and one will insist that they go to the public school or whatever, you know. But what you can do is you can instruct your children at home and teach them, amen, godly values and teach them God's word, God's ways, so that they will be able to discern in time, amen, and recognize the error when they hear it. Amen. What's happened is so many are, they're just not taking the time to spend with their children, to invest in their children. Amen. And they just send them off to school and they get indoctrinated in the school systems. And since they don't have any knowledge of the truth and knowledge of God, then automatically they start to go with the crowd. And do we not see a crowd mentality today? And many of those who are undisciplined growing up are now throwing temper tantrums in the streets because they don't want God. Amen. And because people reject the truth and the light that they do have, they become darkened. And when we become dark, amen, we do insane things. And we're not even able to understand that we're doing insane things until the light of Christ comes and shines in our hearts. Amen. Until we come to a place by the grace of God that we are in brokenness and we've hit the bottom and have realized that my way just does not work. I was designed, manufactured, amen, created for God, for a relationship with God, to walk with God, to know God. He wants to delight in us and for us to delight in him. We were created for His pleasure. And it is a pleasure to know the Lord. It is a pleasure to have a relationship with Jesus. Amen. And the enemy is always looking to detour us. He's always looking for other things, amen, to distract us away from the Lord. He wants to be the center of attention. He's a narcissist. Is he not? He wants to be the center. He wants to receive the worship. So he's looking for ways, all right, to detour us, to distract us, to get us to look at him instead of the Lord. Isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve in the beginning? It's the parents' responsibility to raise their children in the ways of the Lord. Ephesians 6:4, and you, fathers, it says, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. The Amplified says, fathers, do not irritate and provoke your children to anger. Do not exasperate them to resentment, but rear them tenderly in the training and discipline and the counsel and admonition of the Lord. So as earthly dads, we want to pattern our lives after our Heavenly Father. Amen. And again, this is no condemnation because we've all made mistakes. I've made mistakes. Amen. Of course, you didn't know that, but I had to tell you that. But we've all made mistakes. We've all fallen short of God's standard of perfection. Amen. But we want to be like our Father. We want to be like Him. And we want to model our lives, pattern our lives, if you will, after Him. Amen. To be a good father, you want to be like your Heavenly Father and be an example to your children so that they're watching your life. They're watching Dad pray. They're watching Dad spend time in the Word. Amen. They're watching Dad attend church. You know, most kids that don't have a father that attends church, the majority of them, they don't go to church when they grow up. Dads have a very important role, don't they? Our Lord Jesus was our prime example. He had a close relationship with the Father, and His earthly life was patterned after the heavenly. He said in John 8:18, I am one who bears witness of myself, and the Father who sent me bears witness of me. Then they said to him, where is your Father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my Father. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. Jesus was the exact image, amen, of the Father, the representation of the Father, came from the bosom of the Father. It came to this world. The Word, who was in the beginning with the Father, became flesh, dwelt among us, amen. And he told Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father also. He was a perfect representation of the Father, amen. He came to reveal the Father and the heart of the Father to us. Remember, under the Old Testament, they had the text. They only knew the text, but they didn't know the heart of God, except for those who had the Spirit. Today, God pours out His Spirit on all flesh, and those who are willing to receive, amen, can know the heart of God. God will send the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, what? Abba, Father. Amen. So if you want to be any earthly good, I'm going to reverse this one. You must be heavenly minded, right? I know you've heard it said, oh, they're so heavenly minded. They're talking about lazy people. You know, that's not heavenly minded, okay? That's earthly minded, actually. But to be heavenly minded is to be patterned after God, and to be like the Lord, godly, all right? But if you're heavenly minded, you will be earthly good. Remember the old commercial years ago? I usually bring this up, like father, like son. Shows a little boy growing up with his father, you know, and whatever he sees his father doing, he's doing that right along with his dad, amen. And then finally at the end of the commercial, dad's sitting under a tree. I think he was under a tree, and like father, like son, and he pulls out a pack of cigarettes and he goes to light up. And then like father, like son, you see. The influence of a father upon the children, amen, is immense. And as we know, the Word of God tells us that, but the statistics also. Right? In Galatians 4:4, it talks about being born again. When we're born of the Spirit, we get to enjoy this fellowship with our Heavenly Father. And it says in verse 4, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Amen. Now, understand, in that culture, if you were adopted, it means you had full rights as a son in that household, okay? And because you are sons, God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. So Abba is a combining of their Aramaic and Greek words for father. And so no slave could address the head of a family in this fashion. It was reserved for members of the family and expresses love and confidence. So this means that when we're born again, born of the Spirit, amen, we become a child of God. He becomes our Heavenly Father, amen? And now we can address Him as Abba. Amen. Dearest Dad, dearest Father, amen? We are His children, hallelujah. And the Father delights in us. He loves His kids. I don't always love me, but God loves me. Amen? And that's why I need to remind myself of that sometimes, you know? Hallelujah. But the indwelling Holy Spirit, when we receive the Spirit of the Lord, amen, the Spirit of God, he comes into our hearts, amen, cries out, Abba, Father, we become a child of God, amen. But it's the Spirit of God that creates an awareness of sonship, all right? And you can also note, by the way, in this verse, you see the Trinity, Spirit, Son, and Father also in that. So one way we show our love, and this is really the commandment that sums up all commandments, and that is to love God and to love others. Amen. Five commandments on tablets. Amen. Five, our relationship with God. Five, our relationship with man. Loving God. Amen. And loving our neighbor as ourself. So it's about a love relationship. It's not about religious duty or obligation, amen, or legal obligation. It's about a willingness to submit to a loving Heavenly Father, amen, who loved me so much that he sent his son to die in my place to redeem me, amen, from a certain devil's hell, amen, that I don't have to go to hell. By the grace of God, I can be born again. I can become a child of God, amen, and an heir, hallelujah, to the throne. Through the blood of Jesus, amen, we can now, with confidence, come before our Father's throne, hallelujah, and know that we don't have to stand outside, amen, and we don't have to knock on the door and beg to come in. Praise God. If you're a son, amen, you have a key, and that key is faith, amen, in the blood of Jesus, and we can come with confidence, with boldness to our Father's throne today by way of the new way. That's the blood of Christ, amen, that was shed for us so we can be qualified by the blood to come into his presence. Isn't that a wonderful thing, amen, that we can come now with confidence before God? Not because, oh, God, look how good I am. Would you hear me now? No. It's, Lord, thank you for your mercy, and thank you for your blood, and thank you that I can come to you for the grace I need to control myself, amen, and to live right. Hallelujah. A lot of people think, well, once I start living right, then I can come to God. God says, no, you need to first come to me so I can give you the grace for you to live right. Yes. This is my commandment, that you love one another. In 1 John 4:21, and this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must what? Love his brother also. So important that we as dads, we love God, amen, and we love our children, and that we're an example to our children, that they're watching our lives. You can ask my daughter Judy, she'll tell you I'm a perfect dad. Not. But she knows one thing. She knows I love the Lord, and I have a relationship with the Lord. Amen? And I do the best I can to be an example. Amen? And that's what we do, is we want to pattern our lives again after a Heavenly Father, because he's the perfect Father. I want to be like Jesus when I grow up. Amen. So here's a couple pointers, guys, real quick. You ready? Number one, the Bible says, love your wives. He said, don't wait for them to love you. You just love your wives. Okay? Because you're creating a pattern and a model of how your children will live their lives as parents and mates. Secondly, don't expect perfect children. Don't be overly harsh on your kids. You have to give them some grace just like God gave you grace. Amen? Amen. Enjoy your children just like our Heavenly Father enjoys us. Amen? And we enjoy Him. Listen to your children. They need your attention and be available. Sometimes I can find myself, I'm a very task-oriented person. I focus really hard on things. And sometimes I'm not paying attention. You know, now I have 8-pound grandbabies, two of them. They're furry. And they're always coming up to me and they're, you know, trying to get my attention because it's, where I sit is the snack chair, you know. But sometimes I'm reading an article, I'm really intense, and they're just like, rah, 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 and it's like he's clueless because he's so focused. Amen. So we have to really be paying attention to that, because sometimes we can be like that and we're not paying attention to the needs of our kids. Amen. That want someone to talk to. They need somebody, you know, that they can just really vent on sometimes, you know, and to share their heart with and get and receive advice. Good counsel. Provide. We know this. Our responsibility as fathers is to provide, and husbands, right, for our children. And, of course, to teach them. Pray. Again, I already mentioned it, but don't ever stop praying for your kids. Because what you need to do is let God do for them what you can't. There's just certain things we can't do. We really can't change a person's heart. But God can do that, and that's why we pray. Because prayer changes things. It changes hearts. Somebody prayed for you. Somebody's praying for you. Somebody's praying for me. Amen. Be a positive role model. All right? Because we're going to influence by our example. So, dads, you know, even the statistics prove it, that we are a role model. We are an example. And we can influence people either for good or for evil. So we want to influence people for good. Amen. We want to be like Jesus. The most important gift that we can give our children is Jesus. You know, you can give them all the stuff, all the worldly things. Well, I didn't have it when I was a kid, so I'm going to make sure all my kids have all this stuff. And so you spend all your time work, so they can have all this nice stuff. But if you lose your child, you've lost it. You know, what was the point in all that? What does it profit a man to gain the whole world but lose his soul? Amen. We've got to have that time to invest in our children and make sure, you know, you're paying attention to them. There's times when I notice changes in my daughter's behavior growing up, and I'd start asking some questions. What's going on? You know, you all right? You know, just being available. But they need to know that they have a safe place to go, that somebody they can talk to you. Amen. And you're not going to shout them down because they got into mischief, you know. Praise God, He doesn't throw us away when we fail. Amen. But He gives us opportunity to repent and learn from it and move on, grow up. Amen. Part of growing up is learning how to fail. Amen. And to get through it and to learn from your failures. Aren't you glad that God doesn't throw us away just like that? You and I, as men, we cannot be good earthly fathers or husbands. Again, without a proper understanding of our Heavenly Father. And it is the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God that reveals to us the heart of God, so we can know God as our Father, the Father of our spirits. All right? The Father of lights, our Heavenly Father. All right? And so, men, you are to be an example of the Heavenly Father to your families. Amen? We got that. All right? Because, again, our earthly families are to be patterned after the heavenly. All right? And so you and I today in Christ are the bride of Christ. Amen? We're going to be married to the Son, to Jesus. Amen? We're espoused to the Lord. Hallelujah. And He's coming for a bride. So everything that we see, even in the earthly model of the family, has a heavenly model. Amen? So we want to be like Him. So they're distinct God-given roles that are different between men and women. Would you agree? And it's funny that they asked some politicians recently, what is a woman? And they haven't been able to answer that. They hesitated. Or they try to beat around. They don't even come clear with an answer. It's like, really? I mean, are you that caught, captivated and so politically correct with your party that you're just going to, you know, say whatever they want you to say, even if you don't really believe it yourself? And that's true about some people. They'll do whatever people tell them to do because they're in fear of being rejected. And so they just go along with whatever the crowd says and whatever the crowd is doing, even if it's against their own moral judgments. You know, it's something they're asking people. They're interviewing people on the streets. Or, why are you out here? Well, I just thought it was something to do. I mean, I just the other day, there was some guy talking like that. Well, because everybody else is out here doing this, or because somebody paid me $200 to go out here and bust stuff up, you know. And so that's real wise. You end up in jail, you end up hurting and injuring people, and, you know, destroying the city that you have to live in. Don't complain. I mean, if you're going to destroy your city, don't complain that it's a mess. Realize that you're being duped, you're being lied to, you're being deceived, you're being manipulated. All right? And it's not good. God help us. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Our greatest responsibility as the people of God is to promote the gospel from generation to generation until the appointed time when our Lord Jesus Christ shall come again and receive us, His people, His church, His glorious bride. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you saved? Have you been born again? You need to make sure. Amen. Hebrews 9:27, I finish with this, is it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. You need to be ready. We all have an appointment with God. Today, you can be justified freely through the grace which is in Christ. You can be forgiven. You can be reconciled and brought back into right relationship with the Lord. Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised. We need to make sure that we are right with God, and Jesus has made a way for us to be right with the Father through His blood. Amen. If we will repent, turn from our sin, amen, and turn to the Lord, we will find mercy. We'll find grace. We'll find forgiveness. Forgiveness, again, is a cancellation of debt. Amen. We can't cancel our own debt. We're debtors, amen, because of sin. The wages of sin is death. And there's nothing we can do about it except turn to the only one that can forgive and the only one that can have mercy on us, because that's what we need. If we ask for justice, we're done. But we need God's mercy. And aren't you glad that we have a merciful Father that we can come to? Amen. I do it often. I'm the Lord is sorry. But that attitude, that action, or that maybe a word, you know. We just need to walk in that and thank God for His mercy. Thank God for that grace that's available to us, and that we can, with any time, amen. Don't wait until you're clean to come to God. Come to God as you are. That's just the thing, amen. You can't clean yourself up clean enough, amen. Jesus makes you clean. He makes you holy, amen. So come to Him. Only He can make you holy. Rely on His strength. Don't rely on your own strength to live a holy life. That's where we get into trouble. Well, I'm trying. Well, just start worshiping the Lord. Draw close to God, and you'll have the grace, amen, to control what you do in your body. Isn't it true? It's when we slip away from God that we start getting back into that fleshly life again, and we start losing the victory, amen? We just need to walk closely with the Lord, amen, every day, because His grace is sufficient for us. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many, and to those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sick of this sin-sick world. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus come and clean up the mess, praise God. Amen. We're a resistance force. We stand in the gap. We intercede. We pray for God's invasion. Amen. In the earth realm. Hallelujah. Until such time that it says that which restrains will be taken away. I believe that's the church. Amen. The Holy Spirit working in the church. And when that happens, amen, well, all hell is going to break loose. I don't want to be a part of that. I believe that we are not appointed to God's wrath. Amen. Jesus said, watch and pray always that you be counted worthy to escape these things that are coming upon the earth. And to do what? Stand before the Son of Man. Hallelujah. Jesus didn't redeem us, amen, to put us through the wrath of God. In the world, he said, you'll have tribulation. You'll have difficulties. Tribulation comes from man. Wrath comes from God. Man will give you a hard time, amen? But you don't want to be under God's judgment. And those who refuse the love of the truth, they will suffer the judgment of God because they rejected the sacrifice of Jesus, the love of God that was poured out for them. No one loves you like God. No one loves you like Jesus. Amen. Jesus said, no man takes my life from me, but I lay it down willingly for my sheep. Amen. He demonstrated his love for us in the cross. That's the kind of love he has for mankind. Not willing that anyone should perish, but those who refuse such mercy, such love, amen, will get what they deserve. And that is God's wrath and judgment. Eternal separation in hell. And God came through Jesus Christ to deliver us from that. Amen. Our mission now is to populate heaven, to point people to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And warn them that there is coming a day of wrath upon the world of the ungodly and those who reject the love of the truth. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you today for the word that you have given me, Lord, and that you have been with me and you have helped me. And Lord, I know I'm not a perfect man, but I thank you, Lord, that you allow me to be a vessel. And I pray, Lord, your word will just find root in every heart, that you will seal it there. I pray that our hearts and our minds will be changed, Lord, that we will be renewed, that we'll be strengthened, nourished, built up in the faith, Lord. We want to be like you, Lord. And we want to be ready for the day when you call. When the bridegroom comes and the word goes out, the bridegroom comes. God, we want to be awake. Lord, we want to have oil in our lamps. We want to be prepared for that day. So the Lord says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Have oil in your lamps. Be awake, be watchful, and pray. Hallelujah. The Spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. You must overcome your flesh. You must live a life in the Spirit of God now. A new life. A life where ends with a beautiful hope. He's given us a beautiful future to look forward to. And while we're here, we have grace available to us every day. His mercies are new every morning. And God says, I want you to overcome. I want you to persevere. I want you to endure until the end. I will be with you. I will give you strength for each day. I will provide for your needs. I will see you through to the end. Trust me. I promise to be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Lord, we trust you. We believe you. We submit to you. And we pray your kingdom come. And your will be done on the earth. We pray your kingdom come and your will be done in America. We pray that you'd save America. That you'd forgive America. Turn our nation back to you. Send an awakening, Lord God. Send revival, Lord God, to your church. Awaken your church, Lord, in this nation, Lord. Bring your people back to life again, Lord. And Lord, we pray for the harvest. You bring in the souls, Lord. Forgive our sins, Lord. Heal our land. Turn our nation back to you. We ask in Jesus' name. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, today I pray in Jesus' name that you would bless each one here. Keep us. Cause your face to shine upon us. Be gracious unto us, Lord. God, we ask you to lift up your countenance upon us, Lord. Smile upon us with your favor. And we ask you to give us your perfect peace. I pray the peace of the Lord will go with each one of you to guard your heart and your mind. And I encourage you to draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Hallelujah. Be ready, amen, for the King is coming. In Jesus' name.